Welcome to Joyful Marketing. I'm Simone Soul, and I teach you how to get your life coaching practice fully booked without having to pay for ads, buy Instagram followers, or complicated sales funnels. It's not rocket science, and you can do it too. Listen on to find out how. Hey, coaches, let's talk about how to not F up ambitious goals. And I titled this episode, How to Not F Up Ambitious Goals, as opposed to How to Achieve Ambitious Goals, because the primary reason we don't achieve them is because most of us F them up all in very predictable, consistent ways. And I just wanted to point out how you might be doing this and how to not do that so you can actually achieve those goals. I'm a big fan of setting super ambitious goals. I set that as a standard for all who enter my mastermind. For example, my mastermind is called 6 months to Fully Booked. And the expectation is that you come and create the extraordinary result of creating a fully booked life coaching practice in 6 months. Now, you might have a different kind of ambitious goal. You might want to make 2021 your first year of creating a full-time income in your business. You know, you might want to make your first 40K. You might want to, maybe you just got certified and you really want to book your first 10 clients, paying clients, right? Or maybe you want to create your first 100K year, or maybe this is the year you want to scale to 1 million. I don't know, right? You can all set different goals that feel super ambitious to yourself. And I always recommend having a goal that feels like a little bit impossible, not like wildly impossible, because I mean, there's a way where you can make that work. But sometimes it just, when a goal feels so fantastical and it just feels like all the way out there, it's kind of hard to make ourselves really accountable for taking the steps to actually make them happen. Cause it's like, well, I'm not actually going to go to the moon, so why bother? Right. So please have a goal for yourself for your business this year that's ambitious, that's challenging, feels a little bit impossible, but not like totally out there in la la land, right? By the way, if you have goals that are out there in la la land, it's totally fantastical and you actually, you know, you thrive from having those and those serve you really well, then absolutely do that. I'm not here to prescribe one correct way of doing things. I'm here to help you specifically in this episode. If you tend to have a habit of setting really ambitious goals and then hustling all the way to try to achieve them, and you know you have a history of being disappointed and heartbroken and feeling really defeated and not even wanting to try again. So if you're caught up in this stressful cycle of goal setting, you might even be at a place where you're like, I don't even want to set goals, ambitious goals anymore. I'm just going to try to be reasonable and maybe not even plan and just go with the flow, because every time I try to set a big goal, I end up just, you know, self-sabotaging. I don't end up getting it done. So this episode, if that's you, if you've done that, and or the idea of an ambitious goal stresses you out in any way, this is for you. Okay. So here are the common ways that we use an ambitious goal against ourselves and almost set ourselves up for failure. So number one, what I see coaches do is that they set the goal as a condition of self-belief. Now, I was talking to one of my clients who told me that she had a specific goal of earning a specific amount of money by a certain date in 2021. And because that date was so specific, I asked her, why this date? Like, why does it have to be this date? And she said, because this is the date of my husband's birthday, and I really want to give him the gift of retiring him by this date. And by the way, I thought that was such a fun idea and a beautiful gift to be able to give to one's husband. But what I noticed and coached her on is that, in a way, like, that sounds really great, right? Like, I want to make this amount of money by this date so I can retire my husband, give it to him as a birthday gift. But what was happening underneath that is that what she was really wanting was to feel like the powerful entrepreneur, the powerful and prosperous, profitable, successful entrepreneur being the kind of woman who retires her husband, right? And the way that she was thinking about this at this particular time, she was going to set that date up as a goal for herself, where this is her way of proving to herself that she is going to be that woman by that date, right? So if I make this amount of money by this date, then I'll know that I am a husband retirer, so to speak, right? Then I'll know that I'm successful at the level that I want to be. Then I'll know that we can be secure, that my husband doesn't have to worry about it, right? So that's what I mean by using the goal as a condition for self-belief. She wants to believe that she's successful. She wants to believe that she's going to set her family up for life. She wants to believe in all those wonderful things about herself, but she's going to wait in a way until she hits this number by this date. And if she doesn't end up hitting this amount by this date, then what's going to happen is that she will feel that she failed at becoming that person, right? I have failed to retire my husband. I set this as a goal. I said I would do it by this date and I didn't. That means, right, I'm behind schedule, right? So when you want to be something, when you want to believe something about yourself, when you want to step into a way of being, like being a successful coach, I'm somebody who retires my husband. I am, if you want that, not everybody wants, but I'm just saying, right? I want to be the breadwinner. I want to be the kind of person who makes this much money, right? And how you know that you're making that a condition, like making the goal a condition for self-belief, is when you have the thought, when I have this goal, I will prove to myself that fill in the blank, right? If the goal becomes a way of trying to prove yourself that, you know, dot, 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 whatever that is you setting the goal as a condition for self-belief. Now, that does not work. Because think about it. If you think that you have to earn a certain amount of money by a certain date to be able to retire your husband, the whole time, instead of being the woman who retires her husband, you're going to be in the process of trying to become the woman who's retiring her husband, which in different words is you're operating from a self-concept of not being that woman yet. Does that make sense? Another goal that a lot of people have is making 100K, right? What I've heard from so many coaches is that when I make 100K, I will then finally feel legit. Now, if you flip that sentence, it means I will feel illegit. Is that a word? Unlegit? I will feel unlegit all the way to 99, you know, $99,999. Right? That means I'm going to feel less than legit at, you know, 30K, 40K, 50K, 60K, all the way to 100K. Like right up until that point, I'm going to feel less than legitimate. So think about what you are thinking about that goal, right? When I achieve this, then I will dot, dot, dot. When I achieve that, then I'll know that dot, 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 I will feel dot, dot, dot. Just know that all you have to do is flip that sentence to know what you're really thinking about yourself right now. You're thinking, I'm not legitimate now. I'm not successful now. I'm not retiring my husband now. I'm not, you know, influential now. I'm not a big deal now. But when I get there, I'll be all of that. But on the way to get there, I will get there by not feeling like that person, right? It totally does not make any sense, right? So check for if you are setting up your ambitious goal in this way, where you're denying yourself how you want to feel and what you want to believe about yourself until you actually have that thing, which becomes a terrible, slow, frustrating, painful way to get to what you want. Okay. The second way we commonly F up ambitious goals is that we set it up in our minds as a success or failure binary. That is, if my goal is to make $100K, I either hit that $100,000 mark in my bank account and I'm there and I have succeeded, or I haven't hit it. The money that I've earned is less than that and I have failed, right? So that's what I mean by success, failure, binary. There is only one way you can succeed, and all these other ways, all the other possibilities, you're failing, right? And there's a different way to do this where you set up the goal where you can achieve partial success, right? So let's say you set out to make $100,000 and you ended up making $60,000, right? Then you think, okay, well, maybe I didn't fail entirely, but I partially succeeded, right? And you might think that sounds nice, but when you say you partially succeeded, what you're also telling yourself is that you partially failed, right? So when you set yourself up for either a success-failure binary or even a formula where you can have partial success and partial failure, either way, you are pursuing your goal from a fear of failure, right? If you want to make 100K, there you are with your 66K and you're like, I'm partially there, but I'm partially failing, right? Or maybe you are harsher to yourself and you think, I'm completely failing because it's not a success until I get all the way to 100K, right? So if you are constructing it this way in your mind, just notice if you are. Because if you are denying yourself any kind of success, you know, feeling of success until you get there, or if you think of yourself as partially successful, but a partial failure on your way there, because either way, you know, it might sound like the latter is like better, but either way, how does it feel for you to think, well, I'm partially failing, right? That's what creates that hustle. It creates pressure. It creates anxiety. It creates, you know, not useful emotions, right? So here is what I recommend instead for how to set yourself up to have a better time, right? How to actually enjoy yourself on your way to pursuing super ambitious goals and actually set yourself up for 100% success, no matter what. And this is how. Number one, do not set the goal as a condition for self-belief. Right? Remember, you know that you're doing this. You know you're not doing this when you say to yourself, I want to achieve X so that I can prove to myself that Y. That's using the goal as a condition for self-belief. So how you avoid this is you start pursuing the goal you want with the self-belief that you want. So for example, the client that I talked about could say, I want to earn this amount of money by this date, but I already know that I'm already retiring my husband. I'm not going to feel more belief, you know, 10 months from now because I hit an arbitrary number. I'm already 100% the woman who is retiring her husband. In fact, I'm retiring him right now because I'm in the process of building the business. I am the brain that's going to do it, and it's just a matter of time, but I already am that woman, right? Or I want to make $100,000 in my business this year, not so that I can feel legitimate, because I'm already 100,000% legit. I'm already powerful. My mind is incredible, and I am influential everywhere I go. I'm a big deal. The kind of results that I create for my clients is a big deal. Me making $100,000 is going to be a result. It's just going to be like a side effect of the fact that I'm legit. I'm already a big deal. I'm super successful. That's why I'm going to make 100K, not the other way around. You see? So think about what you think at your first like unfiltered thought, what you think you'll gain, right? What you will allow yourself to think about yourself, how you'll allow yourself to feel when you get there in quotes, right? And then bring all of that to the present moment and set it up like, I'm going to create this result because this is who I already am. This is what has already been set in motion. This is already the truth of the power of my brain. This is already the truth of what my soul is here on earth to do. And all I'm doing is stretching myself into the container that's already there, right? So that's the first trick, so to speak, right? To start with the self-belief and the emotions rather than using the goal as a condition for it. Second recommendation is to have reasons for wanting to pursue the goal that go beyond just yourself and your self-centered interests. Now, there's nothing wrong with pursuing goals for yourself and your selfish interests. I think we all have to be self-centered. We have to take care of ourselves. And I think that self-centered ambition is one of the great forces of good in the world. And I have noticed that for most coaches I know, and particularly for myself as well, when I have reasons for wanting to pursue a goal that go far beyond just my personal like satisfaction and glory, I get such better fuel. I have such a richer, more effective source of motivation for wanting to pursue the goal, right? So a lot of the times, if you think, well, I want to, you know, create $100,000 business because, or I want to, you know, sell out this launch because I want to feel successful and this is the goal I set for myself and my business and it's my money, da, 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 right? That's all completely fine and dandy. And I don't think that goal is as strong as if you were to also have reasons for it that went beyond why it matters beyond just for yourself. So let me give you an example. I have the goal this year for 2021 to enroll 1,000 life coaches into my Joyful Marketing program. And I was talking to my CFO about my goal because we're talking about my money and projections and everything. And I was telling her, like a little bit sheepishly, actually, I was a little bit like, hey, Emily, like my goal is to enroll 1,000 people. Like, I don't know where they're going to come from, but sounds like a lot. Like, I don't know if I can do it, but what do you think? I was kind of in that, like, I don't know kind of energy, kind of shy. Can I really do this kind of energy? And she asked me the best question that just like pulled everything into amazing perspective in that moment. Because she asked me, Simone, how is the world going to be different because 1,000 coaches are in Joyful Marketing? And I was like, whoa, mic drop. And immediately I had this vision of a world with 1,000 additional coaches in it who love marketing, who approach marketing like it's creative, joyful play, who use their marketing channels and their marketing platforms as platforms of love and service and changing lives of everyone in their sphere who've never even paid them. By the way, if you have been my student, you know that's my definition of marketing, is creating results for and changing the lives of clients who've never paid you, right? Allowing people to get results from just being in your world. That's what I mean by marketing. And these coaches getting so good at marketing, them enjoying marketing so much, creating such massive impact just with their marketing, that creating clients, creating the kind of fully booked coaching businesses for them is easy. It's not mysterious. It's a joy. And then they're fulfilling their sense of mission in the world. And I envisioned 1,000 more coaches getting to do that in the world. And it brought me to tears, right? And I was like, oh my God, I am finding every last one of those 1,000 coaches and enrolling them in Joyful Marketing, right? Because before I had that conversation with my CFO, I was kind of setting it up in my mind as like an ego thing, right? It's like, well, it's my goal. If I get 1,000 people, then I'm going to make this much money, which is going to count towards my yearly goal. And I was kind of like thinking about it in a mechanical sort of like my goal, my strategy, my plan kind of way. And then the minute I zoomed out into how is this going to be different? Like what difference is this going to make for the world? How does this contribute to the larger work that I'm here to do in the world? How is this going to change lives? You know, I thought about each one of the coaches that I'm going to serve. And then I thought about the communities that they're in and how many people are going to be impacted by one coach because they learned how to market joyfully and effectively, right? I think for every one coach, it could be 100, 1,000 people around them whose lives are improved just because that coach learned how to market joyfully. And then I just imagine these ever widening, exponentiating circles of beneficent impact and influence. And I was like, oh, love this goal. 1,000 people, love it. Let's do it. Right? So that's what I mean by having reasons for pursuing the goal that go beyond yourself. So ask yourself, you know, what is this going to mean for when you achieve this goal for your clients, for your community, for their communities, for the world, right? Give yourself as many reasons as possible why your ambitious goals matter beyond ego satisfaction, and you're going to fall that much deeper in love with your ambitious goals, and it's going to be fueled by such superior gas. It's like, it's going to be like the best quality gas ever that's going to allow you to, you know, be strong, like through the long haul. That's what I want for you as you pursue your super ambitious goal. Okay. All right. So my third piece of advice for how to not F up your ambitious goal and actually create them is prioritize who you have to become in order to create the result rather than the result itself. So we can want the thing, or we can want to become the person who creates the thing. Now, let me give you another example about it from my own life recently. So when I launched Joyful Marketing, I had the goal to enroll 130 people in the first week. Now, I did not know anyone in my sphere that launched a group program for the first time at that sort of price range and enrolled over 100 people in the first week of launch. I didn't know anybody who had done anything close. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't people who do that. I personally didn't know anyone who did. And I had no proof that I could do it. And I had sold other things, you know, effectively before, but nothing of this structure, nothing at this price point before. And so I just had no idea. And so when I set the goal to enroll 130 people, new clients into Joyful Marketing, my brain kept wanting to lower my goal, right? My brain said, hey, why have you got to go all the way up to 130? By the way, I only set the 130 because, I mean, if I'm being really honest, it was arbitrary, but 130 was going to be the number that takes me to 1 million for the year. So I was like, why not, right? But then my brain kept trying to negotiate down. My brain said, listen, you're going to have your entire life to figure out how to sell this. Why put so much pressure on yourself, right? Like, I mean, that's like a 300K launch. Like, why do you have to do that? You already exceeded your goal for the year. And, you know, we can maybe sell a few dozen, maybe, I don't know. But why put yourself under that kind of pressure? We don't know how to do that. And so my brain gave me all of this. And this is the one reason, and this is the one factor that got rid of all that noise and got me to really commit to that number of 130, right? And this is it. It was the version of me who sells 130 spots of this in 1 week. What does she believe is possible for herself and for her clients? What would she have to believe about the power of the program? What would she have to believe about how many people are out there who are ready for this work? How many lives are going to be changed as a result of this work? And how urgently important this work is? What would you have to believe about all of that in order to be the coach, in order to be the entrepreneur who sells 130 spots? And I was like, whoa, wow. I'd have to believe so much deeper. I would have to commit so much more powerfully to the mission of my program. And I would have to think so much bigger about what this program can do. And I would have to almost like go beyond just trying to control every variable and kind of like, you know, invite a little bit of magic into it and really step into collaborating with powers of the universe, right? To pull this off. And it would have to be 1,000% all in devotion and commitment, as well as kind of a magical letting go and release. That's who I would have to be in order to pull this off, right? And then I felt this like buzz in my body, like I would have to be such a more powerful conduit of possibility in order to commit to selling 130 spots. Then I would, if I were just saying, oh, you know, it's fine. It's more than fine if I sell 50. I've got all of next year to figure out how to sell. This is totally fine, right? So it wasn't in the end the number or the sexiness of the dollar amount, like, oh, I really want to hit $1,000 or $1 million. Like, that was something I could easily negotiate myself away from just because, oh, I don't want to be stressed out. I don't want to be pressured, versus, oh, the belief that I would have, the kind of energetic container that I would need to be. That's what I really want. That turns me on. And so that's the moment I decided to commit to the goal of 130 people. And I spent the next few weeks doing nothing but deepening my belief, doing nothing but deepening my love of what I had created, my love of the program, my love of my clients, my love of what's possible in the world, my belief in what's possible in the world when this program is in the hands of every coach, right? And also deepen my belief in how many people I'm currently impacting, how many people are listening to me. I just had to become somebody who holds such like way, way, way more expansive, relaxed, trusting, you know, infinite belief in all of that. That's what I focused on. And I hardly did anything in terms of like doing extra stuff, right? Like I didn't strategy my way into that possibility. I believed my way into that possibility. And as a result, guess what? I met my impossible goal. In fact, my own mind was blown. I was like, what? So the rest is history. You know, I did that launch. It was a success. Everything that I intended was achieved. Made $1 million. Awesome. But I'm convinced that that only happened because I intentionally expanded my energy instead of constricting it to protect myself from disappointment, because I prioritized who I wanted to become in order to create the result rather than just the result itself. Right? To me, that growth is so much juicier. It's so much more interesting. It's way sexier than I'll make this much money and I'll be able to say I sold this many spots. Like, who cares? Right? Like, I mean, that's cool, but that's not as compelling as like, this is the next level version of myself that I want to be. So think about that for yourself, for your super ambitious result in 2021 or whenever you're listening from in this, whatever time frame you have, right? It's like, this is the really juicy goal that I have. Who would you have to become in order to be the person who creates that result? And like really write it down, right? The way I just detailed it. Like, what does that person think about herself or himself? What does that person think about their clients? What does that person think about the impact their work has? What does that person think about money? What does that person feel about that? And then really get to interview that person, right? Get to know that person. Feel that connection you have between you and that person. And prioritize that becoming rather than the having of the very specific result itself. So last one, which is kind of related, last piece of advice about how to not F up your ambitious goal is to fail-proof your growth by asking yourself, why is this goal worth my time, even if you fail? One easy way I like to think about this is when I give my 100% to a really super ambitious goal, where I would end up, no matter what, is greater than if I were to set a quote unquote safer goal just to avoid the pressure and the discomfort. And that was also part of my thinking behind setting my goal launch goal for Joyful Marketing at 132, like at some level, I didn't actually care if I met the goal because I knew that who I would become by holding the space for and by doing the belief work and becoming the person who creates that, those sales numbers, is worth it no matter what. And I would grow so much more by pursuing this goal than I would otherwise. If you can notice a theme here in most of the things that I'm talking about, is that what we're after is growth. If you are growing as much as you can, and if you're giving your 100% to the growth, not hitting an arbitrary number, you can be succeeding 100%. Because growth is all that matters. So to give you another example, my goal is to create a multi-million dollar business with coaching and helping other coaches in the course of my lifetime, right? Let's say that does not happen. Let's say for whatever reason, knock on wood, right? Everything goes up in flames or coaching businesses become illegal or something happens or where I can no longer conduct my business at that level and I just don't end up doing anything like that with my coaching business, right? Now, the reason that it would still be worth it for me to give my all to that goal is because pursuing having giant goals to help people through coaching and through helping them with their coaching businesses is the truest expression of what I want to do in the world. And it's the most useful way for me to use up my gifts in the world, right? Because it's who I am. And being true to who I am, giving my all to the honest expression of my gifts in the world and how I want to be of how I want to contribute to the world is everything to me, right? So even if I don't make $100 million with my coaching business, I will still feel completely successful if I feel that I have shown up honestly for like what I'm here on earth to do, right? If I gave my all, if I took risks to the proportion of my conviction and courage, right? So think about that too. Why is it worth it even if you fail? Because of who you want to become, because of what you want to express. So you see, these are all different ways of thinking about your goal and nestling your goal in such a bigger purpose and in a bigger identity, in the bigger way you think about yourself and the world, in which pursuing the goal just becomes a kind of, not a decoy, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's like a proxy, right? Like you're pursuing the goal, but you're really pursuing the becoming. You're really pursuing the impact on the world for which this goal gets to be a stand-in and have that transformation, have that impact, have that growth be what gives you fulfillment. And then you use this number for the goal as a kind of like a guidepost, right? It's not the end in itself. It's like, oh, here's one sign. Here's one milestone that I hit on my way to becoming that person. Just to summarize, number one advice is to do not use the goal as a condition for self-belief. Number one, have reasons for pursuing the goal that go beyond just your self-interest. Number three, prioritize who you want to become in order to create the result rather than the result itself. And number four, fail-proof your growth by asking yourself exactly all the reasons why it's worth giving your all to, even if you don't technically achieve that exact thing, right? I hope this gives you interesting and useful ideas for how to really love the goal and love the path towards achieving it without being attached to it, without pressure, hustle. This way of thinking about your goal is truly the only way. It's big enough, right? It's big enough for you because truly what you have to do in this life goes far, far beyond any number or any like worldly trophy, right? It's about you. It's about you and your soul and the other souls that you get to serve and the exchange of energy between all of that. So that's what I got for today. And I'll talk to you next week.
Hey, if you want a shot of fresh inspiration and actionable tips to improve your marketing every single week in your inbox, you better get on my email list. Sign up to receive my free ebook called 20 Unsolicited Copy Tips. It's been known to get people to come out of the woodwork and ask to work with you. So get on that link in the show notes, and I'll see you in your inbox next time.